On the phone line, 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Kaylee. Good to be with you.
I got a little confused this morning when I heard that the State Senate Rules Committee had pulled the capital gains bill, because in my mind, if you pull something, you're taking it away. But that's actually not what happened. It looks like it's going to the Senate floor then.
Yeah, well, for the people who are supporters of the capital gains income tax, a rules pull is a good thing. But for most of us, including people from Central and Eastern Washington, the pull from rules is a bad thing. So the Rules Committee is actually a gatekeeper committee between the policy committees and the floor. And a lot of bills, even if they make it out of their policy committees, you know, like transportation, ag and natural resources, education, they still end up dying in the Rules Committee because there's just a backlog of bills still in there. Bills kind of die off along the way, but there's still a backlog when they get to rules. But yes, the capital gains income tax bill did get pulled from rules, and technically it is eligible to be voted on in the full Senate any day. And so that will be an interesting process. Our Republican caucus has been obviously focused a lot on what the potential floor debate would be for that bill if it comes to the floor.
What do you see? Because I'd imagine that there's a push this year that's going to happen to get at least this to get to a vote in the state Senate, because I would imagine that's the big sticking point in the legislature. What do you see when that bill comes forward? Obviously, there's some that are going to be pretty obvious. You guys will be against it. They'll be for it. But how do you see that unfolding?
Well, it's interesting because in years past, the state Senate has actually been the sticking point for this particular policy, because apparently the House of Representatives had the support, the governor supports it, but there were a couple more conservative Senate Democrats that, even though the Senate Democrats had a strong majority, if they lose a few of their members, they may not have the support to pass this bill or to secure the amendments that are needed to actually get the bill in its final form. But apparently there have been a couple changes in some of the members on the Senate Democratic side, and they believe now that they have the votes to pass this bill. The Senate has 49 different members, and there are 28 members of the Democratic caucus and 21 members in our caucus. And so even if they were to lose a couple of their members, they could still secure the 25 votes to pass it. Although what we're trying to do, obviously, is work on amendments, even if they have the votes to pass this. Could, for example, we add a referendum clause onto this bill so that even if the legislature does pass it and the governor signs it, would it be required to go to a vote of the people this fall? That's something I think would be great. I'm going to vote against the bill. I'm not going to want that bill to advance past the Senate, but if it does, I sure hope we could secure an amendment like that or some other helpful amendment. So in my opinion, we could make this bill less bad.
And the low carbon fuel standard is coming to your committee. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, the low carbon fuel standard has been one of those that's been kind of really complicated to understand, because I think the idea is that you could try to reduce the carbon component in the fuel, which, you know, I support actually in the sense that, you know, that's a good cause, but how the low carbon fuel standard would actually accomplish that and what it could potentially do to gas prices is significant. So essentially it could have the effect of higher gas prices, not necessarily a gas tax, but people are paying more, and then they're not actually getting road projects because, you know, we've had this discussion about the gas tax revenue packages, which are sort of competing proposals among the Democratic majority with this low carbon fuel standard. But at least those gas tax proposed increases would fund major infrastructure road improvement projects all across the state. So it's really interesting. But I do want to say, you know, we have a very clean electric system in our state. So most of the greenhouse gas emissions from our state, unlike other states in the United States, don't come from the electric sector. Most of our greenhouse gas emissions, for the people who care about reducing carbon emissions, those come from our transportation sector. So it is important to focus on reducing our emissions in the transportation sector, because that's where the emissions are. So battery electric vehicles, also hydrogen vehicles, and some other things can help do that. Whether a low carbon fuel standard could get us there and whether it would have the support to pass, it remains to be seen. But I am a member of the Senate Transportation Committee, and it'll be interesting to hear what the proponents of that bill say.
What was your reaction when the state Senate passed the ban on open carry at within the state Capitol grounds and at public protests and things like that, so that people are not permitted to, you know, openly carry a weapon?
It's interesting. You know, I voted against that bill, but it did pass the Senate by a vote of 28-20. So there were a lot of debate. There was a lot of debate on that, but obviously the votes were there, and I think the Democratic majority knew that to pass it. It's interesting, you know, with the gun legislation, just like a lot of other pieces of legislation, there's sometimes, you know, an overabundance of legislation that is introduced, but less than 10% of the bills that are introduced actually pass and make their way into law. So on most of the gun, different pieces of gun legislation, I kind of assume most of these are not going to advance. This one is one that will, and I guess I can understand why some people have concerns about open carry on Capitol grounds, but the reality is, in my opinion, that we should not infringe on people's constitutionally protected rights. And regardless of what people may think about what people say, that's a First Amendment right, and it should be protected. And the right for people for self-protection or to bear arms, that is a United States constitutional right, and that should be protected as well and shall not be infringed upon. And I think with this particular piece of legislation, because it involves the Capitol grounds and some of the recent activity at the U.S. Capitol and potentially at the state Capitol, they're utilizing this to kind of chip away at that constitutional right. And I really think lawmakers should be very careful about things like that for that reason.
And before we let you go, you've been a big proponent of getting teachers vaccinated. I was just curious if you had some thoughts when you heard yesterday that the governor, at the behest of the president, was going to move teachers up and they became immediately eligible to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good day. I don't want to throw water on it, but that's basically what I've been asking for months. I mean, in early January, I encouraged the governor to allow school employees to get vaccinated, which would be teachers, administrators, support staff. I called for a statewide school employee vaccination day. I called for school employees that are in person right now to be able to be moved up into this B1 phase. And so finally the governor did it, and I don't know why he didn't do it earlier, because we actually did have a lot of vaccine doses available for that. But, you know, I'm thankful that they are. I hope we can still salvage the school year. This is really an issue significantly statewide, because outside of the central and eastern Washington area, many of the western Washington schools are still fully remote. They're not even doing a hybrid in person like much of central and eastern Washington district. So this is a big, big issue in terms of trying to save the school year. By the time teachers and school employees get their two doses, I mean, I still think we're looking at the end of the school year. So I think we've maybe missed an opportunity there. But the bottom line is, school employees are helping our state deliver a very important service. They're helping to educate our kids, helping to fulfill our state's paramount duty regarding education, and they deserve to be protected. So for all the school employees who want it, I encourage them right now to reach out to the Town Toyota Center, get their appointment, and get vaccinated.
All right, Brad, thanks so much. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, great to be with you. Thanks, guys.